May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our God, our strength, and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Please be seated. Well, I guess we're warming up. Still, God is still broken, but we are warming up. And thank you for your warmth. Here you go. This week's lessons still have to deal with persistence. Remember last week with the widow and the unjust judge, or maybe that was 2 weeks ago, but it still deals with persistence. And that's very important, as we all know, as we go through life. This is persistence to have faith, hope, and love, charity towards God and towards each other. But this week, it's all about our mates. But before I get to that, when we read through the Old Testament lesson that was prophesied by Jeremiah, it's the same example of faith, hope, and love of God. And it kind of makes me smile because thus says the Lord. That's how all of the prophets would begin their prophecies. And it was almost like God was trying desperately to teach his people, even maybe before that, but he was really trying to teach them. You know, say to me, say, O Lord, your people. In the New Testament, we know the disciples of Jesus to teach them how to pray. And he said the Lord's Prayer. But this is God, trying to instigate, teaching his people how to pray and how to turn to him, and how we are to have faith in him, have confidence in him, encourage him. And all of this is a perfect example. And he says, see, I'm going to bring them from the land. So God is going to bring them. He's going to gather them from all farthest parts of the earth. And then among them, and this is one of the first teachings, among them, the blind and the lame, with child and those in labor. He was trying to, get everybody to recognize the need that was there right in front of them for the blind and the lame and the children and the women in childbirth. And so he tells them together, the whole company will be brought back so happy that they'll be weeping, having consolation because their God, our God, is going to be there, not only with them, but leading them to where they're to be. And then the hope of all hope, because God says to them, I have become the father of Israel, and Ephraim, the Israelites, are his firstborn. So all of the lessons, not just the colloquy, which talks about, begins with faith, hope, and charity, but the Old Testament lesson, the Hebrews lesson. But then I just want to go right to the gospel because it's really good. Like I said before, we had the widow who was constantly wanting justice. And if we remember, she went to the judge, but the only reason why he finally gave her justice was to get rid of her, because she was a bother to him. And sometimes those who are needy, like the beggar here, and even nowadays, sometimes those in need are a bother to us, a bother to many. Sometimes not, but sometimes they are. We see that people are in need, and when we can't help them, we feel guilty. Or maybe we might have an attitude of self-righteousness. Well, I can do it, they can do it. Or maybe actually the person who is in need has problems with feeling insecure, feeling vulnerable, feeling embarrassed that they have a need and need to act. There's a lot of emotion. But how do we quell that? By having faith, hope, and love of God and one another, and then sharing that. And that's what the renewal is all about this time. Being able to actually verbalize and demonstrate the faith that we have in our Lord, all over. And be patient with one another. Be patient with the needy. And also to be patient with ourselves. I feel that this congregation is a generous sometimes there's so many things that we ask about to give, it could get frustrating. But the giving that we do from the love that we have for God and each other is enough, whatever it is. Because our giving is between us and the Lord. And He knows our hearts. So we are to have patience with ourselves as well. But here we have, this is really interesting, we have the wine maker, he's sitting by the road. Well, they sat by the road the same way the Romans do today. And the baker would be, like, depending on getting a handout, getting a gift, getting something from a passerby. They would do that because they felt love for the need. They felt like it was their obligation to God and a way to say thank you to God that they weren't in that place. So here he is, sitting there on the roadside. But then this beggar was aware of Jesus. He knew who Jesus was, and he said, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Now that phrase, Son of David, means the Messiah. So that beggar realized the presence of God in Jesus Christ. And he realized a lot more. He knew he could be healed and saved. But like the unjust judge, the crowd and some of the disciples, and they've done that before, the children and others, they sternly told him, quiet, go away. You know, he doesn't want to be bothered with you. We don't want to be bothered with you. Just be quiet. Knock it off. We're going to go. But he was persistent. Didn't let that bully him. And that's what it is. That's the bullying thing. And so the man said even louder, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And what happened? Well, unlike anyone else in the world, Jesus wanted to help. He wants to help each and every one of us. We are not a bother to him. C.S. Lewis had said one time he was so aggravated, he was trying to write a sermon, he had so many interruptions, and it just was just driving him crazy. Then he realized that the interruptions shouldn't be bothering him. That is what he was put here on earth for by Jesus. Those interruptions were his ministry. And it's like this, Jesus wanted to be bothered. He wanted to heal. He wanted people to have faith in him. So Jesus stood still. He said, "Call him to me." And what did they do? They told him, "Well, take heart. Come on, get up. He's calling you. He wants to see you." Now, if you remember the rich young man, what was about that story? He had lots of things. And he went to Jesus. And he said that they followed his commandments. And Jesus said, "You lack one thing. Give up all that you own and follow me." Jesus actually called him to follow him, but he wouldn't. Bartimaeus is the exact opposite. He has nothing, and the cloak that he had on was probably his only possession in his entire life that he had. And what does he do when he's called to Jesus? He gets up and he throws off his cloak. He just doesn't care about anything in the world except for being with Jesus. And then the other thing that we should kind of pay attention to, and it would slip by, is where it says he sprang up. So he just didn't get up. He sprang up. He had energy. He had love. He had interest. He wanted to be healed. We have to want to be healed. We have to want to be with the Lord. And that's what Bartimaeus wanted to do. And then he says, "Well, what do you want me to do for you?" Now, when did we hear about that? We heard about that just in the last couple of weeks, too. The disciples were after Jesus. "We want you to do this for us. We want you to do that for us. We want to be first. We want to be next to you. We want to be great." So Jesus says to him, the beggar, "Well, what do you want me to do?" Here again, it's the exact opposite. What is the beggar saying? Said, "I want to have sight." That's it. "Let me see again." That's all he wanted. And he said, "My teacher, Jesus was his teacher, his savior, and all he wanted was sight. Not position, not wealth, no self-gain except for sight. And Jesus said to him, "Well, go ahead. Your faith has made you well." And unlike the rich young man, he follows him. He follows Jesus. He gets his sight, and he chooses to follow the Lord. So for us, we can decide. Over the last 4 weeks, there's been so many things that we've learned as far as how we are, like, what kind of attitude are we supposed to have? What are we supposed to want? What are we supposed to give? What are we supposed to do? And the column sums it up. We are to be having faith, hope, and charity, which is love. Just another word for love. So this week, we can pray for all those who might get hurt by the storm, and remember to have faith in Jesus, hope in Jesus, and have the love of Jesus in our lives so that we can care for ourselves, care for everyone in this community, and then further out. And do kind of what the Renewal Assembly is trying to do. Help us be articulate and be able to share our faith and demonstrate our faith. Please pray for me. Heavenly Father, I just ask that you put in our hearts and our minds the same persistence as David, the confidence that is David had, and the hope and faith in Jesus, that Jesus will heal and will lead us just like he did for the Israelites, for all others. And ask that you turn our hearts to you solely so that we can serve you.